Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today is becoming my favorite person on the planet. She is in Switzerland on the front line. She spent last week doing some of the best investigative journalism out there. The World Health Organization, I've been warning for a long time, is a real problem. It's one of the spokes of this global governance.
The assault on your sovereignty in terms of your borders,
right,
and the influx of people that are coming through the South. But even though all of this is going on and you have real threats, but also a lot of distractions, what is going on right here and right now in Geneva, at the United Nations headquarters is incredibly important to cover. And what I mean by that is that not only are our nations being attacked domestically, they are being attacked by the globalists on a supranational level.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. Brighteonstore.com.
At the Brighteon Store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com.
Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. My guest today is becoming my favorite person on the planet. She is in Switzerland on the front line. She spent last week doing some of the best investigative journalism out there. The World Health Organization, I've been warning for a long time, is a real problem. It's one of the spokes of this global governance great reset takeover. And Noor Ben Laden has been fearlessly going there, finding out the truth, and has a lot to share. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me again, Mel. It's always the best being with you, and we talk about it offline, but you are one of my heroes, and it's great to be here, and your audience is absolutely lovely. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. And we're becoming pals in real life, and I keep saying I'm manifesting us getting together in real life. In real life, and that would be such a amazing, powerful thing for us, because you inspire me every single day, and I keep in touch with you through text and online, and I'm always amazed at your fearlessness. And last week, you did the world a favor and went and covered the World Health Organization's, I believe it was their health assembly. So if you can tell my audience a little bit about why you went there and the experience from the outside, and then we'll get into the specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very important what's going on here in Geneva, and being here on the ground gives me an advantage, you know, as a Swiss national,
right,
to be able to report directly from the belly of the beast, so to speak. But there is one thing I want to mention. You know, we are being attacked on so many fronts, and, you know, I'm looking specifically at the U.S. Here, and you have very serious things that are happening in terms of how you're government and how your country has been hijacked and is working against you on your own soil. I mean, we could talk about this for the full show, but not to mention, you know, I mean, just to mention, especially we were talking about this offline, but the assault on your sovereignty in terms of your borders,
right,
and the influx of people that are coming through the South. But even though all of this is going on and you have real threats, but also a lot of distractions, what is going on right here and right now in Geneva at the United Nations headquarters is incredibly important to cover. And what I mean by that is that not only are our nations being attacked domestically, they are being attacked by the globalists on a supranational level. And they are using the WHO as their chosen weapon to completely eradicate the sovereignty of our nations and of ourselves as individuals in the process. And so the World Health Assembly, which is the WHO's annual meeting, takes place every May here in Geneva at their headquarters, kickstarted on the 21st of May, or 20th of May, and it runs until the 31st of May. So we have two more days. Mm-hmm. And during these, you know, 10 days or so, you have our member states, the delegates of our member states meeting in order to vote and deliberate on aspects regarding health. You'll see, we can get into this, but the mandate is much broader actually now. And how this will impact us, and how they are supposedly the agency or the institution that should be deciding for us how we should be managing or responding to health, quote, emergencies. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. But in essence, through the WHO's agenda, they want to use health as the Trojan horse to impose their rules and regulations, which would, in essence, supersede national laws. And they are using two key legal instruments to do that, which is, the first one is the amendments to the international health regulations. And the other one, which is being talked about, I would say, a bit more, is the so-called pandemic treaty. That's how it's commonly known. The name is much more complicated than that.
Right.
So it's abbreviated to the pandemic treaty or the pandemic accord, but it's, in essence, it's an international instrument that is going to be proposed for a vote at next year's World Health Assembly, and member states will basically ratify this instrument along with amendments to the international health regulations. Both are being worked on simultaneously in parallel, and they are complementary, but in essence, through this legal framework and the implementation of these two instruments, in essence, our national measures, laws, and the way we decide to respond to health crises will be completely contingent on WHO measures.
Right.
Now they won't be recommendations
right,
anymore, which is what has been the case so far. They will be legally binding measures for all member states, all 194 member states.
Unbelievable. Now they're changing the definition though of health emergency and of pandemics. and they're including social and climate. Is that what's happening? So they're changing this from being about, you know, they did their run through with the pandemic. I mean, there's been prior ones, but the pandemic was their most successful so far. But it appears from what I'm getting, from what I find, I mean, you're the journalist that's really I'm following the most, is that they're changing the definition of health to include all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They're broadening essentially the mandate of the WHO by adding so many different, elements under the umbrella of health, and climate change is a big one. And so there's one document I wanted to show you, which I printed off the WHO's website. It's called the Triple Billion Targets. This is the website is such a cluster of bureaucracy and complicated nomenclature, but I would say, having spent a lot of time the past few weeks looking at their website, this one key document really gives the big picture of what they want to do through the WHO and under the guise of this umbrella term, which is health. And so the Triple Billion Targets, I'm just going to read one key passage here, which is actually the opening passage of what this is about. So, okay. Two words, measurable impact, are at the heart of the WHO's plans to transform the future of public health. The focus is on using timely, reliable, actionable data to improve the health of billions of people. The Triple Billion Targets are fundamental to how this plan will be achieved and monitored. And I'm going to get into that data part in a minute. So the first target is 1 billion more people benefiting from universal health coverage without financial hardship. So this is about the centralization and the standardization of healthcare globally. So this is about the digitization of the infrastructure of health, and they want a uniform system across countries under the guise of providing a healthcare to everyone, you know, so everybody right. has access to incredible health. That's, you know, the narrative.
Equity.
The second part, equity. Equity is all over the place in the documentation as well.
Yeah.
The second target, 1 billion more people better protected from health emergencies. This term, health emergencies, appears as well everywhere. And this is essentially where the international health regulation amendments and the pandemic accord come into play. Because under the guise of prevention, preparedness, and response, these three terms that they keep bringing up in every single documentation about health emergencies, under the guise of that, that's how they want to introduce those instruments so that they can respond and prepare and prevent. Keyword prevent. And this is about as well the digitization of healthcare, the digitization of health certificates, and surveillance. We have to devote a little bit of time talking about the surveillance element. That's very important. That's the key to all of this. And then the last target is 1 billion more people enjoying better health and well-being. Right. I mean, how broad is that? And this is about, as I mentioned, broadening the purview of the WHO and their field of action. And this is where the climate change and the climate emergency comes in, and the whole One Health agenda about climate change. They're going to use the threat of climate change to also fall under this emergency umbrella, which, you know, would be essentially these two instruments give the legal basis for them to act
right
above our nation's laws,
right? Like, so the emergency use authorization is how they got away with poisoning so many people, because they wouldn't allow drugs or early care in the pandemic. And now we're in a place where also, I think, Noor, they are also looking at social justice as some kind of health emergency. And I know that the Blinken Biden, O'Biden regime, very early on, a lot of people weren't aware, went to the United Nations to evaluate the systematic racism, gun violence, all these other things that I think are now coming under the purview of the World Health Organization as well. So they can kind of mold anything into a health emergency across the board or everything.
Absolutely. They are using the WHO, as I've been saying, within this globalist infrastructure, which they've been, you know, setting, they've been setting this up for over 100 years. And I'd love to get into the history also of the WHO. But they have chosen, the WHO is that one key institution that they have chosen and actually devised in order to weaponize it against us. And under the guise of health for all and combating, quote, pandemics, they essentially want to take over all of our nations and centralize power into this one world government. So again, health is a Trojan horse, very much in the same way as climate change is, both of these things, and now they're merging them together and moving forward with their plans for a one world government, for the implementation of this new world order. And the one thing I wanted to mention, because you mentioned the O'Biden regime, and I think it's very important, especially for the American public to know this, this agenda is being pushed and driven by the O'Biden regime.
Right.
And to give you an idea, the amendments to the IHR, right, to the IHR, to the regulations, as per the Constitution of the WHO, were kickstarted by Lois Pace, Deputy Assistant to HHS, in January 2022. She submitted a letter to the Director General, Tedros Ghebreyesus, of the WHO, enclosing proposed amendments for these regulations, effectively kickstarting this process. And then that was January 2022. And then other member states also put forward their recommendations for amendments. And just to note as well, in September 2022, you had the Secretary of HHS, Xavier Becerra, who met with Tedros Ghebreyesus in Washington, D.C., as part of what they call strengthening the U.S. WHO relationship. And they called this meeting, you know, the first of a strategic dialogue. That was like the term that they used. And in this meeting, Xavier Becerra, on behalf of the Biden regime, restated its commitment to the WHO agenda, to this whole health emergencies initiative or program. It's called the Health Emergencies Program of the WHO, which again, and I'd love to now talk about the surveillance thing, because he mentioned that as well, Xavier Becerra, as a key field that they wanted to work on.
Yeah,
this concept of surveillance.
Right. Well, it's really important because a lot of people that watch me and you know, but a lot of executive orders were put in over the pet, which should not be happening, but were put in. They're unconstitutional, but they'll put them into place as long as they can do that. About biometric data. Covering biometric data, about track and trace surveillance, a lot of that Internet of Things technology, Internet of Bodies technology. People have to understand also, Obamacare was the beginning of turning everything into, because now, you know, Nora, I look back, we're around the same age, and I'll tell you what, I look back to 20 years and I see not just the banking side of this, but the WHO health side of this was already fully in motion. You know, Bush, Clinton, Obama. I mean, this, none of this is, it's all been in phases on all sides to go to the one world situation. But these executive orders about biometric data and tracing your biometrics. And then they had the one that he put in that he was saying was about cancer. But if you look through that executive order about the, I think it was Moonshot Cancer Initiative, you look through that, that's all about track and trace surveillance of your biometric data. People are lining up in America. What they're doing now, if you go to the airport, there's more people there for this company Clear that gets your facial recognition, your hand recognition, and they're kind of like, you can skip the TSA line if you give us all your data. And people are doing it out of convenience. People are doing the Amazon Go or paying at Whole Foods with their hand or at these convenience Amazon stores everywhere and not realizing you're giving your data, all this track and trace data, and that they're way more advanced. So talk about their plans for track and trace surveillance of every single human.
You know, it's so sinister and so disturbing, Mel, But even in cartoons for children available on Netflix, they are glamorizing, can you say that word? They're glamorizing the implant of chips for convenience. And this is cartoons that are targeting like children under the age of 10.
Right.
So predictive programming in terms of entertainment and Hollywood, we know this dates back to the very inception of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we are being primed to adopt all of these new technologies under the guise of convenience. And unfortunately, because they've been doing this in incremental steps, people haven't realized how disturbing and also how dangerous all of this is. And it's incredibly hard, increasingly so, to live in society without using some of this technology. And it's going to become even more impossible to function in society without, you know, having these digitized tools, you know, for everyday life.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, people do not realize during the, I think it was before my YouTube channel was taken down, I did a whole show on remote learning that they were doing during the pandemic for children. And if you trace a lot of those groups that were involved in the home remote learning that everyone in the American public schools had to put their children on, parents were not aware, I hope that they would have said no, that what they were really doing, and I believe, I don't know where this database is, but I found a lot of evidence that this was going on, that they were creating dossiers on every child that signed up for remote learning through the Department of Education and the teachers' unions. And so they're getting your kids very young. And then something was happening where some of these programs that children were put on to keep going to school from home were also biometric data, their eye movements, because it was on with Zoom or Google School or Google Classrooms and all of this. And it's all very connected to what the World Health Organization is talking about. You know, it's funny, you talk about predictive programming, and I spent 17 years in Hollywood, and I was very aware of how that works. And, you know, you look back to like Minority Report, and people thought, oh, you know, or even that movie AI, some of these things. Minority Report has already happened. It's been happening since before they even put out that movie. And now, like you said, people look at it as the inevitable next step that they cannot, that's just that's the evolution of technology, of identification, of, you know, policing. And that's not what it is. What it is creating a full, basically, prison system of surveillance. Because what are the penalties of not following? Like, what are they putting out there as the enforcement mechanisms at the World Health Organization for those that do not comply? Because that should be much scarier for people. Because remember, you covered it, I covered it, Prince Charles, that is now apparently King, came out and talked about the World Health Organization and the lockdowns and the pandemic and Great Reset, and said that there would have to be a military mechanism in a speech very early on. I think he was the first person to talk about the Great Reset in terms of the World Health Organization. What are they talking about in terms of enforcement of this for humanity?
There's so much to say with everything that you just said. That was so interesting. Before I answer your question about compliance, I just want to come back to this whole digitization of our IDs and transhumanism. I was watching this incredible interview of Whitney Webb on Redacted about a week ago, and she made the link between Epstein all the way to the new chief scientist of the WHO, Jeremy Farrar. And he was basically the executive director for the Wellcome's Trust program called Wellcome Leap. And all these people from Epstein, you know, Clinton's, Gates, and she was also mentioning something about the test programs are happening on vulnerable populations in like Africa, and how the parents are made to comply by saying if your children participates in these, you know, digital IDs or experiments, then they'll get healthcare. And so that's how they get roped into this. So they're trying all of these new technologies and transhumanist programs, and essentially the digitization of as well the data, on vulnerable populations. But make no mistake, and that's what Whitney Webb was saying, and she did a much better job than I did because she really dug into this.
She's been living this for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, really phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing there, in the same way as what they're doing in China in terms of the social credit score system, and also with this WeChat model, which Elon Musk wants to do with X, the Everything app, all of this, then the walls are closing in on us here in the West in order to create those digital jails for us.
Right.
And to answer your question about the compliance, we don't know exactly how it's going to look yet, but we do know that this has been provided for in both those legal instruments I mentioned, the International Health Regulation Amendments and the Pandemic Accord.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency, which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Fast forwarding to today and what you just shared with us about a potential psychological warfare unit under the WHO, as I said, is not surprising at all. The one thing that I have been researching, which fits perfectly with what you just said, is that there is an initiative or a program, I'm not sure how to refer to it, called Infodemic Management. And this is about censoring and controlling our speech, which will be provided for, by the way, mechanisms will be provided for in those instruments, whereby they will be able to control what is said in the case of a, quote, health emergency or a pandemic. And they're going to use, again, that excuse to implement harsh speech regulations and laws. And you look at the documentation of Infodemic Management, and it's just so dystopian. They are really coming after all of our basic freedoms, including free speech, with, quote, the next big one, as they refer to it. And they do, the wording is exactly this. They say it's going to be even deadlier. So this, you know, fits perfectly with what you're saying, you know, and I'm not surprised that the scientist said, oh, it wasn't, you know, threatening enough, or it didn't scare people enough into submission, because this is what they do. They use fear to get us to submit, and not enough of us, I think, yielded and submitted to them with the COVID pandemic. And they're just going to keep going at it until they completely break us down psychologically. And you just have to look around us to see how people are so broken up or broken down psychologically with all the degeneracy and just the trauma and the psychological problems that we have and the ills that we have in our society. I mean, it's so evil. We can go, you know, into the roots of this, but it's just, when you look at the history of all of this, and I mentioned, you know, this one quote, 1922, they've been at this for a very long time to get us to the point where we are, we are now. And if you'll allow me, I didn't finish actually, there was this other quote.
Oh, please go ahead.
From the paper, and then I'll tell the title for those who are interested. Great. So the author of the paper said the following. They believed that what was necessary was a permanent organization capable of acting on new scientific discoveries and of disseminating principles of public health organization. This task of institution building explains why the foundation, with the philanthropic universalism, became crucial in providing support for the League of Nations health organization. Again, he insists on how the Rockefeller Foundation was really the driver behind the League of Nations Health Organization. And it's really a testament to the American people at the time. I know I mentioned it another time I was on the show, but back then, the population was so clairvoyant and really understood what was at stake. And they rejected the League of Nations, no matter how hard the puppet, Woodrow Wilson, pushed for it, you know, because as you discussed with Richard on one of your conversations with him, it was actually a British plan, the League of Nations, and they roped President Wilson into becoming the spokesperson of this, to the point where even today people believe that the League of Nations was a Wilson project when it wasn't at all. And your country is actually the country that saved us. The first time around, they tried to put a world institution or governing body like the United Nations that we have today. It was the first time, but you guys thwarted it, and they had to go as far as, you know,
rebranding.
Orchestrated new world war in order to come down with the hammer as an excuse. We don't want these types of atrocities anymore. Let us create the United Nations in 1945. And at the very inception of the United Nations, when they were in San Francisco in 1945, drawing up all the plans, drawing up the framework of the United Nations, the WHO was a key component of that from the very start.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's scary. And it's hard because people think, well, how could the Rockefellers been involved in so much? They were involved in the creation of the Fed. They were involved in the creation of Big Pharma, in the creation of the military industrial complex, the medical industrial complex, the League of Nations, the United Nations. And the thing is, again, like I'm saying, if the American people and people worldwide, because like you said, every nation that appears to be free right now seems to be in on this. And it's because over time, their leaders have been chosen to push towards this. But again, I think that because we have voices out there right now, because they are, I seen that infodemic thing, and it's not just on the World Health Organization's website. It is also on the UN website, the World Economic Forum's website, the IMF and World Bank's websites. They are using the same language. And if you just go to each one of these websites of as Charlie Robinson calls it, I like it, the octopus of global control, to each tentacle, you're going to find the exact same language. Global governance, this emergency preparedness stuff, this infodemic, they're all, they identify themselves. So Nora, as you're out there reporting and you get, you know, a wide amount of people out there from all different walks of life, are you seeing a, let's say, great awakening type of movement happening of resistance at this point? Because we really have to go from identifying it to mobilizing, uniting against it. And I don't know where we are in that phase, but that is the one thing that these people that you are watching there are most afraid of, is enough of us free thinking humans on planet Earth saying, you have no authority. You are not, we have a sovereign country here and we're going to maintain that sovereignty. Get out of our country. How far are we from that? Or are we looking at more crisis ahead before that tipping point?
You know, I was looking at the WHO's Twitter feed and Tedros Ghebreyesus' Twitter feed over the course of the past, 8 days while the WHO was taking place. If you look at the comments, Mel, everybody's like against them and calling them out. And, you know, I haven't seen like a single positive comment. And they don't care. Nope. They don't care. They're just steamrolling ahead with their plans and having a complete disregard for what we're doing and what we're saying. Because in their eyes, nothing can stop them. You know, they're just, you know, on their course towards achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, right. Agenda 2030, and they're not losing sight of that. And if they need to crush us, and if they need to crush all of our freedoms, including freedom of speech, speaking about this specifically, they'll just go ahead. And we actually here in Switzerland held a protest on Sunday, and it was very heartwarming and encouraging to see like a few hundred people. We were, I think, under 1,000 people to gather on the Place des Nations, right in front of the United Nations headquarters. But I don't think that Switzerland necessarily is very representative, because this place has been selected, and all of these institutions and organizations are housed here. And there is a clear agreement between the globalists and Switzerland and its government to let me put it this way. In the early 19th century, the globalists came together in Vienna for the Congress of Vienna to organize Europe. And it was in the wake of the Napoleonic Wars. I cannot pronounce this word in English. Les guerres de Napoléon. And this is where Switzerland was selected as the diplomacy hub for the globalists. And that's where the, quote, neutrality of Switzerland was also decided. And if you look at the history of the past 200 years since that event, it is very clear that Switzerland holds a special place in the globalist infrastructure or architecture that they've been setting up since then. And the first true international organization, I would say, was the Red Cross, which was founded here in Geneva in 1863. And then you had the League of Nations, which were also headquartered from the get-go in Geneva, and then the United Nations. So you can see on the timeline that Switzerland has played a key role for the globalists. And so because of the special relationship the government of Switzerland has with all these institutions, it is very unlikely that the uprising will come from this country in that sense. And I'm not sure to what extent the population is aware compared to a country like, for example, America, because of your First Amendment, and because historically, your country, your population has the fight for freedom, or freedom runs in your veins. And again, you know, when I look at history, which I'm so passionate about, and I read about that first quarter of the 20th century, and I see how Americans responded to this attack on your sovereignty back then, it always fills me with great, you know, inspiration and encouragement in the work that I do. And I do think that this, you know, your population has one thing, which is incredible. I mean, many things, but, you know, common sense. You know, Americans have common sense. And deep down, you are an independent nation, and isolationist nation, although that term has also been hijacked at the beginning of the century to kind of castigate you for not wanting to join these organizations, but I mean isolationists in the good sense of the term.
Right.
And you guys didn't want to join in these world wars. And they had to, the globalists had to go to great lengths to rope you into this, into the international rules-based order, or however they want to call it.
Right.
And so that's why I look to the US. That's why I've been essentially talking about America and rooting for America because of my personal story and my love for the country in and of itself. But because I understand as someone abroad that a strong and independent America is essential to stopping the New World Order. And this is why they have waged such an attack on your country for so long.
Yeah.
And sadly, the result is what we're seeing happening in the US, at your border, in your streets, in your institutions, you know, the weaponized DOJ, the FBI, which is illegal in and of itself, as we discussed, you know, last time I was on, I think. So you have a ruling class in America that has completely sold itself to the globalists over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And with, you know, the creation of the Fed, which was the last nail in the coffin, I think.
Yeah.
And they are literally destroying your country from within, because it is a necessary thing for the globalists to move forward with their one world government.
Right.
They need a weak US. And so they're pushing also for multipolarity, and everything we see in terms of geopolitics is very much linked to that. And another thing I want to say about America and Americans is that as an isolationist country, the country didn't want to participate in these wars. And President Trump once, I think it was with Sean Hannity in an interview he gave to him, he said, how did we end up being the policemen of the world after World War II? Because the US became a vassal state of the globalists, and the country was used as the army of the globalists. And so they used the United States resources, military might to go fight all of these wars across the world. And we went from Pax Britannica to Pax America right after World War II. And it's been for multiple reasons, including humiliating America on the world stage, because America never won any of the wars after that. And it was also about siphoning the American population of its tax dollar, of its tax dollars, by essentially bankrolling the military-industrial complex, effectively gutting your country from within, in conjunction with sending all the manufacturing overseas. So really, that term gutting, your country has been gutted from within for over 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. And we stand here right now, the American people. I still think that a lot of people are watching CNN and reading the New York Times and don't realize that our country, I keep describing it, probably getting annoying to my audience, but as like, you know, when you stand on the platform in Long Island waiting for the Long Island Railroad, it's totally dark. There's a couple lights, whatever. And you're waiting and you're hoping the train's going to come, and you see the light like all the way far, far in the distance. And you can't hear the train. You don't feel the wind. There's no sound. But you know that it's coming because you can see that light. And I'm telling you right now, what's coming to this nation, if we do not put our left and right and our all this fake manufactured division aside and realize that they are dividing us to fight amongst ourselves, so we do not see that train coming. Because if that train gets all the way to the platform that we are all standing on, our country will turn into a one party rule, and that party will not be American. And it will not include our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, or our God, or inalienable rights. And it is coming fast. And I'm just praying that the American people, as I see them waking up more and more, I think there's probably 30% more than, you know, maybe even 6 months or a year ago, that are saying something is very wrong in DC, and we need to take back this nation ourselves. But I believe the only answer is for we, the people of the United States, to realize what you're saying and say, not in our name, not with our money, not in the future, because they're setting up another world war right in front of our faces. And with even with this debt ceiling BS, the Uniparty is going straight ahead into a world war. They're back in Kosovo and Serbia. They're back here. They're instigating North Korea. I mean, this has got to stop. And how you're explaining it is exactly, you know, we have to say enough as Americans.
Yeah, and there's just one point I wanted to add to that is that, you know, it so happens that it's Memorial Day today when we're recording. And what is particularly sick, Mel, is that they have used Americans' patriotism and love for freedom as part of psychological warfare and propaganda and manipulation in order to get Americans to go fight these wars for the globalists. And, you know, it's on both sides, you know, people have been, they've been killing people all over the place. And it's also, it's also part of, you know, the eugenics program. Everything is tied together, but it's just, it's incredibly evil. Everything that we've been talking about. And if you look at the 20th century, specifically, it's just one big giant evil plot to make us completely subservient to one minuscule top ruling class, a cabal of people. And the plans that they have drawn up for us, and as I mentioned, you know, the WHO documentation is explicit. And if you read those international health amendments and you read the pandemic accord, you can see how it is they're going to trap us into...
It's already in place. I'm telling you, it's already in place, at least in, I know, in New York City and in LA and in anywhere that they, the World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, UN Sustainable Goals have been adopted. That's why I tell people, look in your local community and in your county and find where sustainable goals, anything connected to the World Health Organization, the UN, World Economic Forum has been implemented, any kind of contracts connected to their stakeholders. They've already, because we know that Elon Musk's satellite system is already all set up all over across the globe for the Internet of Bodies. So everyone has to be really proactive in taking back their personal liberty, their personal sovereignty first, and then fight for the sovereignty of our nations, all of our nations. Certainly the United States has the best opportunity to stop this in its tracks. So everyone, please... Nora has done amazing work. She'll tell you in a minute how to follow her. She is a fearless warrior for truth and justice and humanity. And though she's on the ground in Switzerland, her heart is here in America. And I will tell you, I had on Alex Craner. I've talked to an Albanian, a Croatian. They're all watching their countries being infiltrated by the globalists right now to take us into World War III for the exact same reason, to reset, to take implement all the stuff that Noor's talking about, because they want us so desperate that we say, do whatever you need to do, just stop the chaos. We can stop the chaos by stopping them proactively now, locally, through your county, through your state, and through joining together and putting aside your differences and whatever party you think you're on right now. The only team right now is Team America versus Team Globalists. And you got to get on the right side and save this country, or your children and your grandchildren and future generations will look back and ask why we didn't stop it. Noor bin Laden, you are an amazing, amazing woman. I hope to see you more and more often and in person someday soon. Can you tell my audience where to follow you? I know you're starting up your podcast. You got a lot going on. You got a great Twitter feed where you keep people in the know. And your work at the World Health Organization is extraordinary. I would say no journalist on planet Earth has done more than you have to expose this. Please, everyone, share this episode and share Noor's information. Tell them where they can find you.
Thank you for your compliments, but there have been people who've been doing incredible work, very thorough, much more thorough than I have, actually. I'm more of like a macro person, but incredible work denouncing the WHO specifically. And so with a friend of mine here in Geneva, Nick Cerruti, we started a website called wehurtothers.com, you know, WHO.
Yeah, I see.
Wehurtothers.com. This is the logo, and it's basically a repository of everything you need to know about the WHO's power grab. And so we went and got the best resources from incredible people writing about, digging deep into this. And we also have the official documentation. So it's kind of like everything you need to know about the WHO. So that's weheardothers.com. We also have a Twitter feed called We Heard Others. And then my personal Twitter is at Noor Bin Laden. So that's where you can find me.
Thank you, my friend. I will see you again soon. Keep up the great work. You are an amazing, amazing woman with so much to offer. It's truly a pleasure and a blessing every time you're on. I really appreciate you. Thank you for joining me.
Right back at you, Mel.
Thanks.
Lots of love.
See you soon. Lots of love.